Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's March 12th, 2010. And I want to talk to you some more about the heresy that's taking place, the Hebrew roots, the root of heresy. And I know it's very, very popular. It's very chic. It's even a fad today that such a widespread movement is going back to the Hebrew roots or Jewish roots or Messianic faith. There's different levels, different expressions of it, and there's different degrees of error. But it's important that we go by the scripture, that we let the scripture be the foundation and the authority by which we determine what to believe and what to do or express in our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the coming of the Lord is very near. And one of the key things that he told us that there would be deception, false teachers. False teachers are corrupt in their character, but they're also their teaching is corrupt. And it's like leaven. And what Jesus said was, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. A key scripture today that I want to share is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now listen closely to the first part of this text, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely firmly convinced that those that are actually being drawn away from the truth of the gospel, as presented by the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, are actually being bewitched. Now, Apostle Paul dealt with this a long time ago in Galatians. And he said, "O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" So in that one verse, you have people that are foolish, that they've been bewitched, and they're not obedient to the truth. And this is what I will exhort you. Be careful not to follow the trend that's so popular today. Now, we should study. We should study history. We should study the scripture, every word of it. But be careful that you're not drawn into a sect of belief that's after Judaism. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what's happening is, and this is very much abundant in the scriptures, that when we start following the law of Moses, it's clear that if you do one act of the law, you are a debtor to do the whole law. And you're cursed that you must continue in all things of the law if you do one element of the law. And in James, he said that if you violate one part of the law, you violated the whole law. Also, other scriptures say that if you believe that you're justified by the works of the law, that you're frustrating the grace of God, which means to nullify, to make of no effect the grace of God. And that it further says in the scripture, Galatians 2, verse 21, that it says Christ had died in vain. Now, you never want to say that to the Father who gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross. And you certainly don't want to look at Jesus and say, "I don't need you, Jesus, dying on a cross, because I'm going to do the works of the law." And Paul told the Galatians that you are fallen from grace. And he said it twice in the same verse. If you believe that you're justified by your works, you are fallen from grace. Those that were they were doing circumcision. They were doing something in their flesh to be pleasing to God. He said you're fallen from grace. So you see how by being drawn back into the law of Moses, thinking that that will please God by doing the law of the Moses, that you are actually frustrating the grace of God. You're actually could be fallen from grace. And what's amazing to me is that the people are listening to the words of Moses rather than the words of Jesus. So the key thing I want to share with you in this message is how Moses himself told the children of Israel another was coming from amongst their brethren, just like Moses was. And he would speak the words of God, and God said that he would require it of those people that would hear his words. I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. God goes on in this chapter, and Moses quotes God. Listen to this. Verse 18 and 19. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So here you have Moses himself telling the people, another's coming, and you're to listen to him, and you better keep all his words. But what we have today is people going back to the words of Moses rather than following in the words of Jesus. Isn't that an odd thing? I'm going to take you to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is of necessity a change also of the law. So here God's telling us, we're going to find out here in this Hebrews chapter 7, that God had done away with the Levitical priesthood after the order of Aaron and brought forth another priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, and that's his son Jesus Christ. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang up out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. We have a new priesthood, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, and we have a new law after the law of Jesus Christ. And the vehicle for righteousness is not out of our flesh by doing deeds or by following ordinances and commandments, but it's through the Holy Spirit. The life of Jesus Christ living in a believer, that is how you fulfill the law. So the dynamics are completely different. Another very important scripture that shows us that believers are to follow Jesus and his commands rather than Moses and his commands is seen in Acts chapter 15. This is when the early church had to formulate what was to believe, what was God speaking by the Holy Spirit, what was required of men to believe and be saved. Because now it became apparent, now that Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, and the Holy Spirit had come to the church and empowered them 50 days after, it became apparent that God was saving the Gentiles. So some of the believers were saying that circumcision was mandatory, and others were saying that they should follow the law of Moses. So they called together the apostles of the Lord and confirmed one to another what God was speaking. Chapter 15, verse 4 of Acts. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now, isn't that amazing? There was no, they shut up because the wisdom is so profound. Peter's explaining, look, for generations, our forefathers were never able to keep the law, and we can't even ourselves. We're not going to put the same yoke of bondage. We're not going to provoke God by putting this upon the Gentiles. But it's by grace, through faith, that God is doing miracles, and people are believing the gospel. God purifies men's hearts by faith. Here again, we are not to do aspects of the law for righteousness. We're not to follow the law of Moses, but we're to follow Jesus Christ. Another very important scripture that shows the preeminence of the law of Christ and following Jesus Christ over the law of Moses is Romans chapter 7. Paul says that, don't you know that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives? And he gives an analogy like marriage. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, while her husband lives, she's married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Praise God. You're dead to the law, but that you should be married to another, Jesus Christ, who's raised from the dead. He is the one that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy 18. He's quoted in, this very scripture is quoted in Acts chapter 3, 22 through 23, and again in Acts chapter 7, verse 37 in the early church. The law is done away. All the ordinances, the handwriting was taken away and nailed to the cross with our sins. And the fact that Gentiles were outside of the covenants of God, alien and without hope, God has made no distinction in flesh for those that have faith in Jesus Christ. He's broke down the wall, the middle wall partition that was between us, and made one new man. I hope you see the importance of this scripture. And the beauty of being liberated through Jesus Christ. We are not to frustrate the grace of God. That if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, men have come in, false brethren, covertly, privily, secretly, by stealth, to spy out the liberty that's in Jesus Christ, in order that they might bring the people of God into bondage. This is Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Moses himself told the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, 18, and 19, that another was coming that they would listen to and God would require it of them if they did not. Romans chapter 7, 1 through 4, and Galatians chapter 3, that we were under the schoolmaster of the law until the seed came, which is Jesus Christ, by whom and unto whom the promise was made, that we be justified by faith. And the faith came. In Acts chapter 15, the early apostles declaring that none of the forefathers were able to keep the law, not even they themselves, but it's through faith, through grace, are we justified.